I went to a lot of games over at Lambeau Field, championship games, things like that. But my all-time favorite game was played on this field on September 25th, 1955.
The Lions begin the game with a roar.
I remember walking on the field after the game, and I was sort of like walking on cloud nine. I just couldn't believe it. I kept repeating it. We beat the Lions.
Tobin Roach shoots a bullseye to Gary Knoepfel, who crashes into the end zone with a winning touchdown with only 20 seconds left in the game. The overjoyed Green Bay fans forget about those 20 seconds as they mob their hero.
Tom Pidgeon, he really is a historian. He has this amazing collection. I've never seen anything like it. I actually compare it to having his own like little museum.
He showed me up in his bedroom all the stuff that he had collected already. And it didn't, you know, it's okay, it's a collection. It wasn't much or anything. And then when we got married and we're building the house, he said he wanted the room downstairs, and I thought, oh, okay, if you want it, you know, it's yours.
I really didn't know what I was going to walk into. You never know. To be honest, I've been to a lot of fans' houses and stuff, and it's almost better to not have expectations because you never know what you're going to see. Going to Tom's house was very much a pleasant surprise.
What really got me into collecting was in 1956, when I was 16 years old, I started thinking, you know, it would really be great to relive the game that was just played the previous day, the previous Sunday. So I thought, why don't I save the newspaper, Green Bay Press Gazette newspaper, from the game, and I could relive it again and again. So that's how I kind of really got my collection started.
By 1958, I was probably getting the paper from every city in the NFL, from the Sunday game, the Monday paper.
And if he's got nothing on TV, he'll go downstairs and get a box of his newspapers from back in the old days and bring it up and read them, you know. And it's fun, and he enjoys just reading the old magazines that he's gotten.
Tom contributed several things on this graphic right over here, and this is really about the Packers it's about the birth of the Packers and the Packers joining the NFL.
He's got a lot of the old stuff, and that's what he likes, the old stuff, the history. And he says if we don't put that out there, this younger generation now is not going to know the history. They're going to think it's all from Brett Favre on or whatever and not know how the team came to be here and how what they went through.
Pretty proud of it, and I was involved with the people that did the planning for the Hall of Fame. Like I said, a lot of the programs and the pictures that are in the Hall of Fame were scanned from stuff in my collection.
As far as the images go, there's not a lot of early images of the Green Bay Packers, but what we do have right here is one of the earliest images other than the classic team pictures that you often see. This is some action when the Packers are playing Rockford in 1921.
Really interesting picture. You can just see how there was a baseball field there. And you look at the uniforms, and you can just see the outline of the Acme Packers on the jersey, because that was only on the jersey in 1921. Acme was a short-lived sponsor of the team. Some of the stuff I'll bring up and say, well, yeah, I have a picture of that. But that was the case in a lot of things that we did in the Hall of Fame. Cliff Christo, who is our historian, would talk about different things that, well, we want to put this in, we want to put this in. Do you have something about that? Do you have this? So some things I did, some things I didn't.
This graphic actually has a couple images that we got from Tom Pidgeon.
The team was hurting financially and also on the field. And actually on Thanksgiving Day of 1949, Curly Lambeau and business people in Green Bay came up with the idea of playing an inter-squad all-star game to raise some money to save the team. 15,000 people attended that game, and that helped raise close to $50,000. If that game had not been held, I don't think the Packers would be here today.
The first time I walked in the new Hall of Fame, I was amazed at how they had it. It was so cool. But my favorite part of the whole thing is all the uniforms, the change of uniforms. I love that. That was so neat. You have to take a long time to go through all of that and really, really see it and study it, because it's really, there's just so much there.
I'm a tour guide for the Green Bay Packers, and I've been working for the team since 2003.
His sister Carol and I went on a tour. We couldn't get him one time, and it was, the guy did a good job. But then we thought, we were talking, he said, we have to go on one of Tom's. And I'm telling you, proud, proud wife. I mean, he just did awesome.
Okay, so first time here for everybody. That is the largest key in captivity.
He always has great stories, and he really knows his Packers history. And there's only a few people I know that really compare to his knowledge of the Green Bay Packers.
Count of three, go Pack, go, nice and loud. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Go Pack, go!
Go! How do you like that? Kind of cool, huh?
Tom always says, you know, he'll come home and he'll say, everybody's so gosh darn happy. You know, all the people that come on the tours, they're all excited just to be there. He's telling a story and he just talks about it so natural, and all the things he tells you are so cool. You know, he does an awesome job. He does. He because he knows it. He knows it so well. And he does a really good job. Proud of him. I think the Packers have become part of our family because it started out with Tom and his family. And Tom brought it to our family. And the kids all enjoyed watching it growing up and seeing it and going to the games. Loved it too. So it's just something that he'd like to pass on too.
I don't know how many games I attended with my dad. It was quite a few. It was in the mid-40s to probably about 50. And then in 50, I started going, try to, you know, with friends of mine, by myself, things like that as I got a little older.
Just getting the love of the Packers from his dad from little on, and his interest just peaked. And it kept peaking, and he just kept growing the collection and reading more about it and getting more stuff about it. That's why he kept it going, because he loved it.
He has such a great family tradition of really fans with the Green Bay Packers. I mean, his father was a fan of the team when it dates back to 1919 and to Curly Lambeau.
The first game was on September 14th, 1919, and Dad was at that first game, and the Packers played Menominee, Michigan, and won 53-0.
It was the first Packer game. Dad was following the game, just walking along the sidelines, because it was like a grade school game. There weren't any bleachers, and this pass comes flying through the air, hits Dad in the back, and one of the players comes, picks the ball up, said, "Son, you better get out of here. You're going to get hurt." And that pass was thrown by Curly Lambeau.
He's pretty much been collecting stuff since he was a boy, from whether it was newspapers to programs, and it's one of a kind.
I remember being 4 years old, sitting on the living room floor playing at home, and Dad was reading the paper. He had it open, and this was facing me with the team picture of the Packers.
Really?
On the front of the paper. And the next day, we beat the Giants 14-7 to win our sixth world championship under Curly Lambeau.
It's just a neat collection. It really is. about his having the collection and the amount of stuff he has, it never bothered me. It was something that he enjoyed.
She's never really questioned it. I know a lot of wives probably wouldn't put up with this, but she's been great. But network of so many people, and we've met other people through this, that's really been interesting.
Going to memorabilia stores in Green Bay, you know, you go through the stuff and you're just hoping maybe something new came in that you hadn't seen, but and that'll happen sometimes. Other times it just won't. It's just difficult to find stuff sometimes.
I go to shows down in Chicago, and you find stuff at shows, and of course there's a lot of stuff on the internet, but I'm not into that so much. But I really like going to shows because you're interacting with people at the shows.
He just goes through every little piece, you know, so he takes a long time. So I leave him when I go to the next aisles, and I'll come back and I say, hey, you better get over here. I think there's a piece you'd be interested in, or somebody will buy it before you get there.
It takes an 8-hour day just to walk the floor one time. There are so many dealers and vendors there. So, and I kind of am thorough when I go through, but it takes a whole day to go through. I might find a few items that I would be interested in. So it's like sometimes like looking for a needle in a haystack.
It's fun, and if I can find something for him that I know he will love, makes me happy too.
Now what these boards are here is this is a kind of depiction of the team through the years. This board here is the current season that's going on, so I change this board every year. These other boards are depicting the team more back in the 60s when Lombardi was our coach and a lot of the championships we won. This goes back down into the 50s, 40s, 30s, into the early history of the Packers.
I have created a problem for my children. Because, right, what are we going to do with it? I mean, I love the collecting, and I've been disciplined doing it for so many years. But they all understand the significance of it, have enjoyed it. We'll just have to see what happens down the road. You know what I put at the top, and it's something I made, it's the stadium, the old stadium, the model. Because I have so many great memories of going over there. And I didn't have a master plan. It's not built to scale. And I had pictures and I had my own memories of what it was like over there. My younger brother Dave was over one day. I had mentioned to him, I had shown them the supplies I had picked up. And I said, I'm thinking about building a model of the old scene, but I just can't figure out how to get started. And he said, you'll figure it out. That must have inspired me because the next day, I finally started working on it. Then I couldn't put it down.
Tom built a model of the old city stadium. And then he thought when he was done, it looked really neat. He did a neat job on it. Then he thought, gee, maybe I'll make one of Hagemeister Park.
He had like all the same and all the same stuff that it would have at the real stadium.
He's very precise, and he's just like he did on his models. He just every little detail, he just did a really good job.
He uses things that are like that you can just buy at stores, and then it makes it look like he's like you're looking at a real stadium.
And I sat down one day and just had accumulated the supplies, and I just started going to work on it, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, we're at the site of City Stadium. Packers played at this site here from 1925 to 1956. Now, when the Packers originally started in 1919, the site where they played was where East High School sits today. That was called Hagemeister Park, that whole area over there. And they played at that site 4 years, 1919 through 22, and then 1923 and 24, they moved over to Bellevue Park, which is a ways away from here over on Main Street. And they had to do that because they were building a new East High School here. And they built it on the site of where Hagemeister was. So the Packers had to move. And then they built the stadium here in 1925. And they played here from 1925 to 1956. Moved over to Lambeau Field in 1957. When you're a young kid, and even though the Packers weren't
very good in the 1950s when I was growing up, that still meant a lot to me and to us guys that were kids, because these guys were your heroes. But, I mean, the Packers had some great teams that played on this field when you go back to the 20s, 30s, 40s. One of my favorite subjects in school was history, American history. When you're talking about the Packers, you're talking about a lot of history. So just living the experience that I did when I was a kid growing up, and with all the history of the team going way back to the early 20s, entering the American Professional Football Association and then the NFL, there's a lot of history there. We won 6 championships when we played here, but we never had a championship game here in Green Bay. The first time a championship game was played in Green Bay was 1961, which was over at where Lambeau is. And that wasn't Lambeau Field at that time. That was called New City Stadium. Did not become Lambeau Field until 1965, when Curly Lambeau, the Packer founder, died. Most of the games are played on a Sunday. Now the NFL plays every day of the week. And so most people went to church, and then what was the thing to do on Sunday in the fall? Go to the Packer game. That's what people would do, and they would be dressed up really nice to go to the game because it was a big deal.
People, you know, crawled the fence to get into the game for many years, and not just kids, it was adults too. And the stadium, as you're starting to move on towards the mid-50s, the stadium is starting to just bust at the seams because it only held about 25,000. The city of Green Bay is growing, and the Packers are popular. Even though we weren't, you know, a great team back in those days, people wanted to go to the games, and after a while, there just wasn't place for people to sit, especially when you had the Bear game and the Lion game. Those were usually big games, brought out a lot of people, and the weather factored in, too. But they had to have some place to sit. They crawled over the fence, didn't buy a ticket, but where were they going to sit? So they started crawling around and finding the highest point so they could view the game from. And this building right here in the corner proved to be a, you know, pretty good point to sit and watch the game from. There's where those folks are sitting way up on that roof up there, and then on the roof of the refreshment stand here. And this was the Packer band shell right back in here. Back in those days, the Packer band played at every game. Now they don't have the band anymore. Something that I miss. I think the band means a lot to the atmosphere at a game. In 1955, schedule comes out, and the Packers are scheduled to play against the Detroit Lions in the opening game, 1955, on September 25th. And the Lions had beaten the Packers 11 straight games. So going into the 55 season opener, I knew it was going to be tough to beat the Lions.
And the Lions had won the NFL championship twice in the early 50s. And we're playing them here in the 1955 season opener. And I remember that morning of the game talking to my dad. We had just come back from church and we're eating breakfast in the kitchen, and I was mentioning to Dad, I said, do you think we have a chance, Dad? And he says, you always got a chance.
I go to the game with a cousin of mine who lived at the end of our street. His name was Clayton Pigeon. We headed over to the ticket booth, which was right over in this corner, and this is Barrett Street right out in front here, and the tickets were sold out for the kids section. Couldn't get in. So Clayton and I walked between the stadium and Green Bay East High School, which stood where I'm standing right here. We walked all the way to the back.
And way in the back, there was a lot of people, hundreds of people, kids, adults. And I saw some other cousins of mine, and they said, hey, Tom, stick with us. We're going over the wall. Never done that before. So I can remember just watching, and there were civil defense people every so often. Somebody tried to get to the wall, and they pulled them down, and I thought, how is this going to work? I ain't going to be able to get in there. All of a sudden, like somebody gave a signal, everybody charged.
And went up the wall, and my cousin boosted me up. I get up to the top of the wall right in this area, and I'm crawling over the fence, and there's a cop right below me.
And you know what he said to me? He said, son, get down. Don't get hurt. Find a place to sit. So we went and crawled into the field area and actually sat in the end zone right beyond the end line and watched the game right from that area.
Packers are losing 17-13 to the Lions. Didn't look good. In fact, we had fumbled down on this end about our old 5-yard line with about maybe 4 minutes left in the game. Looked like, oh, that's it.
So I told my cousin Clayton, I said, we're going to lose again. We got up and got out of that area and we actually went over on the cinder track that was around the the field, and we were actually right behind Detroit's bench. You could stand right behind the players. And we're watching the game, and the Packers get the ball on their own 20 on this end, march down the field, score a touchdown on the other end with 20 seconds to go to beat the Lions 20-17. And we would have been right in that end zone where the winning touchdown was scored if we had stayed there. But it was still exciting where we were, because I can remember the Detroit players being really mad. They were throwing their helmets on the ground, swearing, and we had scored that touchdown on that end. So that's my all-time favorite Packer game. Everybody rushed the field after Gary Kniffel scored that touchdown. That probably is not going to happen in most cities in the NFL, but it happened in Green Bay.
Handling both time and the Lions, Roque fires down and out to Bill Houghton, who throws the ball out of bounds to stop the clock with 25 seconds left to play. With pressure aplenty, Lion tamer Tobin Roque shoots a bullseye to Gary Kniffel, who crashes into the end zone with a winning touchdown with only 20 seconds left in the game. The overjoyed Green Bay fans forget about those 20 seconds as they mob their hero. Happy days are here again for Green Bay as they upset the defending conference champions, the Detroit Lions, in a 8-17 heart stopper.